Okay, well, Mr. Monti, your take on what Mr. Stugall says, a very odd triangle perhaps for individuals looking outside of this and not knowing exactly what is going on. We're talking about a Saudi Arabia, Israel, United States alliance in creating what many would say is absolute chaos in much of the region and the world.
Well, I would disagree with Mr. Stugall when he says that the Americans, the United States, is just a just standing by and watching the developments on the ground, the Israelis and the Saudis collaborating to create crisis in the region. I think it's a it's an axis of evil made up of the United States of America, Saudi Arabia, and Israel. They're trying their best to create tensions in this part of the world. And you see the takfiris, the recent phenomenon called takfiris, they are ready to kill anybody. They're ready to kill Muslims and Christians alike, but they've never attacked Israel. So the main question is, if takfiris are radical extremist Muslims, so why is it that they never attacked Israel? Because Israel is supposed to be the top enemy of Muslims. Israel has occupied Muslim and Arab land. Israel has killed women and children in Lebanon, in Palestine. Israel has done everything in its capacity and has tapped everything in its arsenal to create problems, to carry out atrocities against the Muslim population in the region. So takfiris are ready to kill Muslims, they're ready to kill Christians, but they're not ready to kill Israelis. They never attacked Israel, they never attacked Israeli interests in the world. You have more than 100 Israeli diplomatic missions around the world, not even one of them has been attacked by takfiris. So why is that a takfiris kill Muslims? Only they kill Muslims. So, well, that brings me to the next argument. If Mossad, if CIA, and if Saudi Arabia are not behind the takfiris, so who is funding them, who is arming them, and who is directing them to kill fellow Muslims?
What's your take on that, Mr. Stugall? Let's look at this takfiri phenomenon, per se, because it definitely the takfiris have been behind unbelievable violence in the region. Do you believe that Israel actually is working hand-in-hand with the Saudis here, supporting the takfiris?
I really couldn't address that. I'm not really sure. However, Look at what's developing in Egypt these days. You're seeing a conservative Islamic backlash to the Arab Spring of a few years ago. I think the Israelis and the Saudis may be fueling it, but I think there is a general resentment of radical Islamic states developing in the region, and what you're seeing now is an overall backlash to what developed about 2 years ago. Now, the Israelis and the Saudis may be fueling it, but I do believe this is a grassroots movement.
Well, Mr. Mahdi, let's look at the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said that Muslims must now be vigilant in not allowing themselves to be divided. Let's look at many people who were at the conference, both Sunni and Shia, they reiterated that there are more obviously commonalities between Sunni and Shia than differences, and it's not a problem. But more and more we're seeing in mass media reports about growing sectarianism. Is it really growing sectarianism, or is it terrorists that have been implanted to create this image that the Muslims are basically fighting each other?
Well, Shias and Sunnis have lived together peacefully for centuries without any problems. So why is that today we see these problems? Today we see a lot of people killing each other just for a seemingly sectarian reasons. I don't think it's a sectarian issue. I don't think that the Shias and Sunnis in Iraq, in Syria, who've lived together for centuries without any problems, I don't think it's a problem between them. It's a problem that has been imposed on them from outside. It's a problem that is being created by Saudi Arabia, by Israel, and by the West, actually the United States of America in particular. So what they're doing is just pitting Sunnis against Shias, and then they're pitting Christians against Muslims, and then Muslims against Christians. And this way, the Mossad and its security apparatus is making Muslims kill each other. And the attention has been diverted from the real problem. And the real problem is the problem of Al-Quds, the problem of the occupation of the Palestinian land. So the people, just instead of thinking about how to liberate Palestine, they think about how to kill each other. I'm talking about the Shias and the Sunnis. So there is no reason why Shias and Sunnis should fight each other. They follow the same religion. They even read the same book. You know, they don't differ much on the basics of the religion. So the problems that have been created in recent months, in recent years, especially in Syria, you see that in the name of democracy, terrorists are being sent into Syria to kill people. So who says democracy can be created by use of force? Who says if you send terrorists to behead women and children, you can establish democracy that way? So I'm asking this very simple question. Is Saudi Arabia a democracy? If Saudi Arabia is not a democracy, which all of us will agree that Saudi Arabia is not a democracy, it doesn't hold elections, it doesn't even have a constitution. So if Saudi Arabia is a dictatorship, and one of the world's worst dictatorships, does that justify sending terrorists to Saudi Arabia to behead women and children? So why is that it's being done in Syria? Syria has become the victim of those democracy-seeking terrorists who have behead women and children just in daylight using knives and the most barbaric ways. And the Western supporters of them are saying that these people are fighting for the sake of democracy. It's not democracy. It's not human rights. It's just creating problems in the region, creating tensions in the region. Okay. It's just pitting Muslims against Muslims, pitting Christians against Muslims, and pitting Muslims against Christians in favor of the Zionist Israelis.
Well, Mr. Stogel, Mr. Imadi brought up a couple of points I want to look at. One was the pitting Christians against Muslims. We're seeing, very interestingly, events that are taking place that never took place before. If we look even at the Central African Republic right now, we see all of a sudden Christians and Muslims killing each other. We see in Iraq unbelievable bombs going off, suicide bombings, killing every day in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Syria, and on and on and on. So if Saudi Arabia is behind this, and the United States is one of the biggest supporters of Saudi Arabia, you said basically they're taking, if they're not active participants, they're looking in another direction. How responsible then is Washington itself for this violence that has taken place?
Yet the Americans are supporting the al-Maliki government in Iraq. They're Shiite. So how does that fall into the plans you're talking about? The Americans are supporting some Shiite regimes. They're not anti-Shiite.
No, my direct question was about supporting Saudi Arabia. If they are basically not pointing the finger at Saudi Arabia, who from all allegations, even from Mr. Maliki himself today, is actually behind a lot of this, how can the United States be silent if they are silent? Aren't they basically giving their okay with what is going on?
Well, you have to remember one thing. The United States' relationship with Saudi Arabia is very unique. The fact of the matter is, just like the relationship with the Israelis, the Americans don't take the lead. They follow the lead set by those two. And whether you like it or not, the fact of the matter is the Saudis have a very strategic relationship with the United States. Washington wants the status quo to remain in Riyadh. And it's like with Prince Bandar, who's probably one of the most tied-in diplomats when he lived in Washington. As long as Prince Bandar is in power over there, he'll call the shots. So the bottom line to it is American foreign policy in that region is being led by Riyadh and Jerusalem.
Well, how dangerous is this, Mr. Imadi, if that is true, if United States foreign policy is being led now by Tel Aviv and Riyadh, how dangerous is that for the region and the world?
Well, it means that the United States is being hostage by the Israelis and being hostage by the Saudi petrodollars. You know, it doesn't make any sense. The U.S. is talking about being the biggest superpower in the world. It has nuclear weapons. It has the biggest military equipment and the most sophisticated technologies and economies. So why is that the United States is being held hostage to Israel and Saudi Arabia? The U.S. will have to be held responsible by its people, because it's doing what it is being dictated to it by Saudi Arabia and Israel in the region. And this Prince Bandar Ben Sultan, you know, he's a murderer. You know, he's behind all those killings in the region. The last person who was captured in Lebanon for deadly bomb attacks against the Iranian embassy in Beirut, he was a Saudi national, and he was killed under suspicious circumstances while he was in custody. So what does that mean? a Saudi national, and then Saudi nationals involved in 9/11, and the United States is just turning a blind eye. Just go back to 1967 when the Israelis killed dozens of U.S. sailors, you know, in that USS Liberty incident. So the U.S. remains silent to this very moment, and now the U.S. is remaining silent when the Saudis attacked the Twin Towers, as the Americans themselves are saying. The Saudis are the ones who are wreaking havoc in the region, creating tensions and killings and bombings in the region. So that when the U.S. remains silent, that means that the U.S. is siding with Saudi Arabia, and that very much goes against the basic and the founding principles of the United States of America. So if the U.S. is supporting democracy in the world, how is it that it is protecting one of the world's worst dictatorships, and that is Saudi Arabia? But what's the point in supporting a country that violates each and every right, human right, of its people? You know, the women cannot drive, their people, if they say anything, you know, they get beheaded. If they criticize the government, they get jailed. So this is the situation in Saudi Arabia. The human rights situation in Saudi Arabia is being ignored, totally ignored by the United States of America, and that doesn't make any sense.
Well, Mr. Stogel, what about this extremism? We have seen now the French reacting, having great concern that these extremist elements that have been going into Syria now likely to, when they come back or go back to their home country, cause problems over there. How likely are these supporters of these extremist elements likely that it can all backfire on them? Because it is very hard to control extremism, is it not?
Well, yes, and we saw what happened in Egypt not more than 2 years ago. The West supported the Islamic Brotherhood, only for the Islamic Brotherhood to take power and then try and ram through legislation that would prevent them from being successfully challenged in the future. The bottom line to it is, whether it's France, whether it's the United States or Britain, they are very much spooked by the potential of Islamic extremism, and as such, they're beginning to draw the line in Syria and in Saudi Arabia. Whether your other guest likes it or not, the fact is the Saudis are strategically tied into the West, and the West will not see Saudi Arabia, see the regime in Saudi Arabia be overthrown.
Well, let me just jump in here, Mr. Stogel. Let me just jump in here. You just talked about, as far as that the West is realizing about the extremist elements, but it was the West that financially and funded, as far as these extremist elements that we saw in Syria, with funds, with money, and whatever, that totally got out of control. Did they not know to begin with who these Tech Furies are, what they were about? We're talking about Al-Qaeda, linked groups.
Well, I don't disagree that it's a total mess, and the fact that the Americans are not providing strong leadership under John Kerry just compounds the problem. It's very hard to figure out who are, quote, the good guys and bad guys in the whole situation. We saw it happen in Egypt 2 years ago. The Americans supported the new Egyptian government, and now they're supporting the military overthrow of that same government. Hamas was legally elected in the West Bank only for the Americans to withdraw support.
All right.
So to be
I'm
honest with you,
so sorry,
the
Mr.
American
Stogel.
Foreign policy is a mess.
All right, so sorry to interrupt you. We are out of time. The program went very quickly. I appreciate both my guests for being with us tonight. Mr. Hamid Reza Mahdi, newsroom director right here in the studio in Tehran, and Mr. Stuart Stogel, UN correspondent for Newsmax magazine in New York. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. Join us right here, same place, same time tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashmi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here at The Debate. Goodbye.